The Lord will have his way, a song by Porter's Gate. The Lord will have his way, this is the hope we profess. Good morning, welcome to Morning Prayer. For those who don't know me, my name's Phil, part of the community here. Some opening responses as we pray. Please join in with the words in bold type. O Lord, open our lips. And our mouth shall proclaim your praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is continuing our journey through the book of Acts. We're at Acts chapter 26. Beginning at verse 1, if you want to follow in the Chapel Bibles, it's on page 1123. The words will also be on the screen. As John mentioned yesterday, we've been going through this series of Paul's seemingly never-ending trials, and the narrative takes a slight pause today, as Paul offers his testimony, his hope. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defence. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defence against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conformed to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now, it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night, King Agrippa. It is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. A moment of stillness to reflect. A few things which struck me from this passage, and then some pointers for prayer. In verse 6, I'm struck by the way in which Paul sees these trials as another opportunity to testify to the hope he has in Jesus. I was intrigued by this phrase, kicking against the goads. I wasn't entirely sure what it meant to begin with. A goad is a sort of pointed stick with which one attempts to direct an ox. In kicking against the goads, it's as though we're kicking against what is painful, stubbornly refusing to do what we ultimately know is right for us. I'm intrigued by the fact that this phrase doesn't appear in the first accounts of Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9. But on reflection later, he realizes that he was being stubborn. And then I'm struck how Paul describes how his perspective has been transformed. And he longs to see the eyes of others opened to the hope we can have in Jesus. So how might we pray this morning? Well, I wonder, how is your hope this morning? Where might we need God to inspire our hope? As Walter Brueggemann says, and I've repeated many times, hope is the deep religious conviction that God has not quit. I wonder whether we might need to offer our stubbornness to God. I wonder, where do we need to ask God for a transformed sense of perspective? Where might our eyes need to be opened? And perhaps in our wider world, where do we long for people's eyes to be opened to the hope we can have in Jesus? As we pray, I'll be playing a song. It's not a new song. It's a bit of a classic in my mind. I was listening to an interview with the person who's recorded this version of the song, and he was saying how he admits this song is not necessarily cool or current, but he felt compelled to record it because of the truth of the words. That we can turn our eyes upon Jesus. Let us join our prayers together in the words of the Lord's Prayer, in whatever version or language is most familiar to you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.